informed about sins and judgment. But still, they were limited in how well they could show the heart of God. All the prophets were still only human. Okay? So for God had to come in person, so to speak, to really show us all that he is, everything that he is, and all that he wants to tell us. That's why the third way that God speaks to us is through sending his son Jesus, Jesus Christ. The third way that God speaks to us is through his son Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear about how Jesus is a better spokesperson for God than all the prophets in the Old Testament. The book of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 is very clear. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son, by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe." Okay? Jesus claimed to speak for God, and he claimed to be a perfect representative of God. We hear that in the gospel that Jesus said that, made those claims. He said that those who saw him have seen the Father. Really, really bold claim. But Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God. The Bible calls him the Word. Okay, because he is the ultimate revealer, the Bible calls him the Word, the living Word of God. But Jesus is no longer physically here on earth with us. What do we do? How can we know what Jesus said and did? What connects us to the revelation that God sent through Jesus? Okay. Well, our connection is the written Word of God, the Bible. So the fourth way that God speaks to us today is through his written Word, the Scriptures. Okay. The Bible is very... the Bible tells us actually that it is a trustworthy witness to what God has revealed through the prophets as well as through Jesus. It is the story and teaching of God preserved in writing. Okay. Through it, we have a dependable access to what God has already revealed in the past. It is not a substitute for God. Please, don't misunderstand. Although the Bible is the most direct way that we can understand what God has to say, it is not a substitute for God. We don't worship the Bible. Okay? We worship the God of the Bible. If 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Okay? Because God speaks through these pages, it has authority for how we believe and how we behave. God speaks to us through his written word. Yes, but is it all dead and stale? Is it just words on the page, on pages? No, because God still has one more way to speak to us today. The Bible is not just words on a piece of paper, because the Holy Spirit can bring it to life in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the person that brings the Word of God alive, the written Word of God alive in our hearts. Okay. The Spirit that inspired the writers of Scriptures to write those words in the first place, he still speaks to us today through those words in a very dynamic way. And how does he do that? The Holy Spirit speaks to us today through illumination and impression. Illumination and impressions. Okay, let me explain what those are. Let me start with a scripture. John 16, verse 13, tells us the role of the Spirit in communicating God to us. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Okay? So, let me explain what illumination is then. Illumination is the Holy Spirit shining his light on the Word of God, on the written Word of God, on the Scriptures, so that we can understand what it says, what it means. Okay? So unless the Spirit illuminates us, really the words on these pages do not mean much to us. They are just like any other text from ancient time. But because the Holy Spirit illuminates, shines His light on us, then we can understand it. No one understands the Bible 100%. No one. We all need the Spirit to help us to grasp more of God's truth. That's why even if you have been a believer for decades and you have been reading your Bible over and over again, maybe you're into your dozen time of reading the Bible, you can still get new things from the Bible. Why? Why? Because the Holy Spirit can still bring these words alive. How about impression? What are the impressions? Well, impressions are what God can use to guide us through the Spirit in areas that the Bible does not talk about. Okay? Sometimes we have to make decisions, particular decisions in our lives that the Bible does not say one way or another very clearly. Say, Robert, you should take sociology next term. God does not tell you that those kind of things in the Bible. Okay? But impressions, sometimes God can use the Holy Spirit to use the, through impressions that we have in our hearts to guide us. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful with following our impressions. Okay? We have to understand where they come from. We have to make sure. We have to test. We have to share. They have to be consistent with what the Bible has already revealed. Okay? It cannot contradict what it teaches clearly. Right? And they need to be checked by other mature Christians who also listen to the Spirit. Okay? Because we believe in the one Spirit from God who guides all of us. So when we're not quite sure, talk to other friends. Talk to spiritually mature friends who also hear the Spirit. And together we get a better idea of how God guides us. All right. Now, if the Bible is the primary and objective channel for God to speak to us, it is very important for us to handle Scriptures carefully. Okay? So I'll focus the rest of my message on how do we handle the Scripture carefully. First, I want to share some common wrong ideas about the Bible, some very often mistaken ways that people can approach the Bible with. Okay? Many people refer to the Bible as God's instructional manuals for us. Okay, God's instructional manual. Okay, this particular edition of the Bible is called Manual, the NIV Bible for Men. Okay, I'm not sure how many of you have that particular edition of the Bible. It's a rather interesting concept anyways. Okay. Is the Bible really instruction manual for us? Well, it is true. It is, in a sense. After all, it is our guide to faith and practice. But here's the problem. Here's the problem of looking at the Bible as a manual. How often do you read an instruction manual? You buy something, do you read it? These days we're all used to plug and play, right? Open the box, plug and play. Forget about the manual. Okay? That's how most people approach manuals. We only read the manual only when we have a new gadget and want to figure out how to work it right. Okay, there's a function that we don't know how to use, then we crack open the manual. Okay, or worse yet, when there's a big problem, okay, it jams or it malfunctions, then we try to find out how open the manual and see what works. Okay, nothing works and we're stuck. Then we go to the manual. Okay. Unfortunately, that's how many Christians approach the Bible. Okay? They read the Bible when they first became Christians. They just want to figure out what they believe. And so they crack open the Bibles, they read it. Or when they're in trouble, okay, life doesn't go well, and they just go back to the Bible, well, where's the answer? What's the answer to my question now? Okay? But the Bible should never be treated that way. Okay? Treating the Bible as a manual is too impersonal. It's too mechanical. It's too functional. The Bible is not something for us to use. It's God's way of telling us about Himself. It's personal. The other way that people can misunderstand the Bible or misuse the Bible is to treat the Bible as an encyclopedia, a comprehensive collection of interesting facts. And the Bible has a very clear purpose, and we have just read it earlier in 2 Timothy, and that is to communicate God and the way of salvation to us. It is not meant to be a textbook on science, geography, or details about the history of the past. Those things that are not essential for salvation. That's why we should never come to the Bible with questions that is never meant to be answered. Okay. Some people think that the Bible has an answer for everything. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't. It's not interested in answering every single possible question in the universe. It's interested in telling us how to come back to God, what God wants in our lives, how to follow Him. Okay. So we should never bring to the Bible questions such as, what is the age of the earth? Or whether the sun goes around the earth or the other way around. Okay. Unfortunately, in church history, Christian history, people have turned to the Bible for questions exactly like those. Now, the third way that people misuse the Bible is to treat it as a promise book. When I was young, I used to sing this Sunday school song, and you might have sung it yourself. It goes, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, a blessing from His love divine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Really? Really? Not everything in the Bible is a promise. So don't go to every chapter, every verse, every line. And not every promise is directed to us. God promised Abraham, for example, as many descendants as the stars. Okay, that's not going to literally happen to all of us. Hardly any of us. We need to be careful not to take things out of context and mindlessly personalize scripture. We can't just go say, oh, that verse sounds good. I'll claim it. Okay, the Bible is not a box of fortune cookies. Okay, one last mistaken view that people have of the Bible is that it's a magic book. Somehow, tabloids love to gravitate towards these kind of things. One example of treating the Bible as a magic book is a book that came out a number of years ago and is still cranking out new incarnation, and that is called the Bible Code. I don't know how many of you have seen, heard, or read the Bible Code, whether it's version 1, 2, or the most recent version that came out, I think, last year, Bible Code 3. Well, the author is a reporter that doesn't even believe in God. Okay, but he claims that certain experts have discovered secret messages encoded in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. Okay. When they put every letter of the Old Testament in a computer program, they can analyze and search for words that are formed by letters that are equal distance from each other, equal distance spacing. Okay. Here's an example that the author of the Bible Code used. This is a grid of the Old Testament text lined up, and it's in Hebrew. Okay, and by lining all the words in the Bible line by line with no spaces, they have discovered 8 Hebrew letters that seem to spell out Yitzhak Rabin. Okay, those letters are in circle, diagonal. Let me see if I can point them out here. Yitzhak Rabin. Okay, 8 letters in Hebrew. Okay. Now, the Yitzhak Rabin, as you remember, was the former prime minister of Israel. And across his name, here is a Hebrew phrase, that they translated as, assassin will assassinate. Okay? So they say that the Bible has predicted the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin thousands of years before it happened. Not only that, other predictions they claim that have come true in the Bible Code are the Gulf War and the elections of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. Okay, many, many other events have been recorded. In fact, they claim that the Bible Code is an infinite data bank that contains everything that has ever happened or ever will. Okay? Now, there are many reasons why some Christians are excited about this idea of the Bible code. If the Bible code is true, it seems to prove beyond any doubt that the Bible has a supernatural origin and that God is behind it. Okay? It seems to boost our faith for believers, and it's a sure way to convince skeptics. But more likely than not, the Bible code is popular both for believers and non-believers because people are just fascinated about the future. We want to know the future. We want to know what's ahead of us. But should we believe in the Bible code? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are many technical reasons why the Bible code is a wacky idea. Okay? I can't get into all of them now. We can talk about that some other time. But I have to mention just two real dangers of the Bible code. First, it takes our focus off the plain teaching of the Word of God to chase after some hidden messages. Okay? If people lead you to chase after hidden messages in the Bible, don't even go there. There are so many truths that are plainly in the Scripture that we have to grapple, first of all, understand. Okay. Secondly, what's wrong with the Bible code? It treats the Bible like a Ouija board. Okay. Either as a curiosity or as a superstition. And the Bible should never be treated that way. So we have seen four different ways that the Bible can be mistreated. But how should we read the Bible then? How should we read the Bible? And as a conclusion, we'll spend the next few minutes very quickly just to highlight some of the ways of how we should approach the Bible properly. First, we should read the Bible seriously. Okay? We should read the Bible seriously. What do I mean by seriously? Well, first of all, not casually. You just don't flip through the Bible here and there, read a verse here, read a verse there, and think that you have done your devotion or done your Bible reading. Don't treat it casually. Secondly, read it diligently. Okay? Make regular time to read the Bible. Don't just read the Bible once in a blue moon. Make it a regular habit every day. Every day. You have to eat every day, don't you? You need spiritual nourishment every day. Regularly. Okay? And finally, to read it attentively. Pay attention to what you're reading. Don't just gloss over words just because you think you've heard it before, you think you've read this before, but there's more there that meets the eye. The Holy Spirit can reveal new understanding to His Word. So read it attentively. Okay. Secondly, we should read it with humility. Okay. Serious Bible students, and when we take the Bible seriously, sometimes can lead us to pride because we get new knowledge and we get insights, and those are all good things. But when we lead to pride, it defeats the purpose. Remember that we never stand above the Bible as this judge, critic, or master. Instead, we stand under the authority of the Bible as God's servant. So when we read the Scriptures, we have to read it with humility. Third, we need to read the Scripture. We need to read the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. Like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit shines the light, His light on the Word of God so that our mind can understand His message. Okay? Study is important. We have to be serious. We have to be approaching the Word humbly. But we also need to depend on the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is indispensable. Fourthly, we need to read the Scripture with the help of the community of God. Okay, we need to check our understanding of God's Word with God's people, the church. That's why we need to have Bible studies. Okay, so besides our own personal study, we need to gather together around the Scripture to study together. We can learn together from each other. The community of God also includes other churches and denominations. It's not just us. Okay, so as valuable as a Bible study within our church is, we also need to turn our attention to what other people, other Christians are saying, not only now, but throughout church history. We need to take their understanding of the Bible into account so we don't develop blind spots because of our particular culture, our particular context, particular life assumptions that we bring along to the Bible. Okay? Finally, we need to read the Word of God with obedience. We need to read with a readiness to obey God. Only then can we be like the wise man who built his house upon a rock. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Okay? James chapter 1 verse 22 also has this to say: "Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." Okay. So I'd like to just conclude this message by encouraging all of us that because God has given his word in our hands, we need to treasure it. We need to hear God not only through creation, not only through the words of the prophets and his son Jesus Christ recorded for us in the scripture, and we need to hear him daily through the Spirit as the Spirit illuminates his word, and then we need to put it in practice. And even that practicing and living out of the word of God is dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless us and strengthen us for obedience to his word. Amen.
Thank you.